You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. If you make a list of all the different ecosystems in Wisconsin, it might take you a while to get to sand dunes, if you get there at all. After all, we're not exactly the Sahara or a vast oceanfront coastline. But Kevin Revelinsky is here to change perceptions. In his most recent Milwaukee Magazine article, he wrote all about the dunes of the Midwest, what exactly sand dunes are, how they got here, and where you can go see some for yourself. He joins Lake Effect's Sam Woods to share more.
Let's start with your recommendations, starting all the way up on Michigan's Upper Peninsula at the Grand Sable Dunes. What's unique about these dunes?
Well, these are about 300 feet tall. And of course, these are on Lake Superior instead of Lake Michigan. You don't see as many up there, though they do exist. And these are the granddaddies of them. And it's part of Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, actually. And it's about a 5-mile stretch of them. And they're perched dunes, so they got that added height. And when you look down from them, you can see what looks like the Caribbean, because all that sand gets under the Lake Superior waves. And when the sun catches them, it looks incredible. And you think, wow, have I gone to the tropical islands? Of course, if you put your foot in the water, that illusion is dispelled, let's say.
Continuing our tour east to Michigan's Lower Peninsula, we get to the next recommendation on your list, Sleeping Bear Dunes. And you mentioned in your article that Sleeping Bear Dunes is the star of Midwest dunes. What gives it this distinction in your mind?
It's certainly one of the most photogenic, and it also gets 1.5 million visitors each year. So, it's quite a large park. There's a scenic drive through the park, and there's observation platforms where you can get out of your car and look out over the sloping sand to Lake Michigan. And, the tallest rise up over 450 feet. These are perch dunes in that case, but they're also shore dunes, and they're active. So the wind moves them each year. So they're gradually going somewhere.
So continuing our tour south to the Indiana dunes, just east of Chicagoland, what is special about these dunes?
Well, I think it's just the surprise that they're there. You come out of Chicago and now you come up against 25 miles of shoreline that is its own ecosystem. You've got dune complexes. A lot of them are stabilized dunes, meaning they've got plants growing on them, trees, what have you. And there's hiking, a lot of hiking there. And it's actually a state park and a national park. So they're kind of Siamese twins in that sense. The tallest of them, 120 feet, I believe. And then there's a dune challenge for the hikers. So about a 1.5-mile trail with sand and steps that gets you about 552 feet climbing up and down, vertical gain.
Yeah, vertical gain indeed. And I'm getting the sense that part of the appeal for these dunes is that, well, it's a really big, tall thing that I want to climb.
I think so. It's the challenge because it's also kind of strenuous to walk in sand, obviously, but also it's just you see something tall, you just want to climb it. As a kid, you want to climb the tree. Adults want to climb Mount Everest. You see a tall dune, you think, I can go straight up that thing, which might not necessarily be the case. They are, with the steep sand, it can be kind of challenging. So it's nice when they have actual trails or steps. Or in the case of Sleeping Bear, you can actually drive up to the top along the back there and get out on the observation deck.
We'll end our tour at Kohler Andre State Park, just north of Milwaukee. And now after this interview, I'm going to go visit these dunes with another Lake Effect producer, Jimmy Gutierrez. But before I go, what's special about Kohler Andre? What do I have to look forward to at this place?
Okay, it's special because, one, it's close. It's very beautiful and accessible. And they have a cord walk. So instead of getting your shoes full of sand, you get to walk on these pieces of wood among the dunes. And it makes for a really nice trail. The dunes there are only 10 to 20 feet tall at the tallest. And, it's an easy day trip and enjoyable for the kids. Some of the other parks you're going to find are a lot taller and a little more work
I mentioned I'll be headed up to Kohler Andre here after this interview. But before I go, what tips do you have for myself and other hikers of these dunes?
You're going to want to wear shoes. A lot of people think, well, it's like the beach, I'll just go barefoot. But especially in the hot sun in the summer, it's going to burn your feet. I mean, it gets pretty wicked up there. One of the park managers I spoke with recommend the athletic sandals. I don't personally have those. I just wear my regular shoes and deal with the sand removal later. But you're going to want to have sunscreen, obviously not a lot of shade on a bare dune, a hat, water. Heat stroke is something that they deal with at some of these places in the summer a lot. Sleeping bare gets a lot of people that suffer from that. So you want to have water, and it's a lot hotter on the sand. So, and if you're swimming, Lake Michigan is infamous for rip tides, rip currents. I know up at Whitefish Dunes in Door County, that's an issue. You want to be aware of that hazard and know what to do if you happen to get into one. So
shoes, water, sunscreen. Got it. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining me on Lake Effect and for getting me ready for this trip to the dunes. I'm going to take your advice and go see what Kohler Andre is all about.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Now, Jimmy, I know you were saying before that you have seen all the Dune movies.
Seen them all.
All three.
All three of them.
And read the book.
I was a youngster back then, but...
Does this sound at all like the landscape that you were...
It does not,
about?
No. And that I've seen with my own eyes. For one, we have a lake, so we have a lot of water.
Body of water, yeah.
Huge natural resource there.
I don't see anything here about sandworms.
No sandworms.
As well.
Lots of wildlife, lots of conserved natural areas. Mm-hmm. So it also says this 135-acre state natural area protects the rare dune community and four threatened plants. It's one of over 300 natural areas that are preserved for education, research, and the benefit of future generations. How about that, considering future generations?
Look at us. Yeah, we're thinking of the kids here.
All right.
The dunes are for kids.
Dunes are for kids. You want to go check this out?
Yeah, let's do it. Dune boys.
Okay, this is lovely.
Yeah. You can see the diversity of the ecosystem here. Really, you can't see too much sand. There's a lot of grasses,
really not a lot
some
of
trees.
Not a single sandworm to be seen. Hello, fellow duners. How are we doing today?
Good.
They got it. They understood the assignment.
Yeah. I'm Phyllis McKenzie. I'm a naturalist here at Kohler Andre State Park.
All right, I think we just have a couple questions. One, so I've seen the movie Dune, and this does not look like dunes. What is a sand dune?
A sand dune is a compilation of sand that comes in from off the lake, okay. Or from areas that are inland. So in our case, we have sandy beaches. The wind blows the sand up into dunes. Plants or something else holds that sand in place. It becomes an obstacle or a barrier. Okay. So then the sand doesn't disappear. It continues to pile up. Eventually, plants will grow. That continues to hold sand in place, so the dunes get bigger. And there are layers of dunes. And the further inland a dune is, the more stable it becomes, and more plants can get established there.
So you were talking about further inland that the dunes are kind of more permanent, more stable, less probably affected by everything that's happening with the lake, or maybe I'm making
yes.
that. Okay,
that's,
okay.
That's true. That
okay,
good.
Nailed that. But how much do the dunes closer to the shore change over time? Like, if you have like a favorite dune, you know, after 5-10 years, would it still be there, or would it change to a place where it's like unrecognizable? Like, how impacted are the dunes that are closer to the shore?
So the dunes closest to the shore are heavily impacted in the winter because our winter storms tend to be a little bit stronger off the lake. So the sands blow up or may disturb those dunes a little bit more. Okay. The dunes get more disturbed if people walk on them. Because if you bare the soil, many of the dunes have what is considered a soil crust. It's actually a kind of moss.
Okay.
And it's not super pretty. It's not like your fancy green moss that you see in the woods.
Yeah.
In a lot of places in the dunes, it looks like burnt carpet.
Okay.
It's extremely important in terms of holding the soil in place. Mm. But it can also be buried, so it can be under some sand now.
Okay.
So you may not see it, but if that gets broken through, then you have erosion.
So what I'm hearing is we should stay on the cordwalk.
That would be really good, yeah. Staying on the cordwalk or staying on the beach, but not on the dune.
Not on the dune, okay.
Yeah.
I was curious how old these dunes are. Like, how far back does this ecosystem go here?
So these dunes basically have formed since Lake Michigan took its most current form. Some, like, 16,000 years ago, we were under ice.
Okay, yes.
And the ice started to melt, the glaciers melted. But the first glacial lake basin was actually larger than the current Lake Michigan basin. And on the to the west on our property, on the Ancient Shores Trail, you actually come to what is kind of the leftover terrace from that larger lake basin.
Okay.
At some point, the lake levels dropped, the ice retreated, right. And so Lake Michigan took its more current form somewhere 12 to 14,000 years ago.
Okay.
And so these dunes have been forming ever since.
Is there anything that you ask visitors to pay attention to that they don't usually notice around the dunes?
That's a good question. What you may have noticed in a couple of places where you're walking is in those more stabilized dunes, we may actually have more non-native grasses, not always invasive, but like even bluegrass or other grasses, because everybody who walks here has the potential to bring in seeds on their shoes. And something to be aware of in the dunes, late summer we start seeing lots of really pretty purple flowers in our dunes. Unfortunately, those are virtually all invasive.
Oh, no.
Those are all spotted knapweed.
That did stand out as beautiful.
They're very pretty, and the bumblebees will actually go to them.
Yeah,
we even have pictures of rusty patch bumblebees on invasive species. So. We'd like to have more natives, so we do ask that people don't take any seeds with them, don't move the plants around, and do watch what you're doing with your firewood, too.
Phyllis was great. All right, so here's my takeaway that you didn't ask for.
No, I was...
Dunes and the ecosystem and everything that supports dunes for a sand dune to actually happen is quite incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And there are tons of things I've learned about. Well, actually... Everything I've learned has been pretty much directly from Phyllis, but I have such an appreciation for the kinds of places and wildlife and habitats that exist in the state that I didn't know and had no idea before we took this little trek.
Yeah.
Thank you for making this happen.
Yeah, my takeaway, I like the ephemeral and ever-changing part of the dune, idea of the
you
dunes.
You relate to that.
Sure, I guess. Got to be. You know, you can... I like looking out at these hills and wondering what they would have looked like, you know, 5 years ago, 50 million years ago, however much. And then listening to the wind that is constantly blowing here and listening to the thing that is changing those dunes, changing the shape of what I'm seeing, and just being there for that moment. I love that.
That was Lake Effect Sam Woods, Jimmy Gutierrez, and writer and author Kevin Revolinsky.